Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 2 and 5,
nope.
The righteous judgment of the Most High, who will
yep.
render unto every man according to his
nope.
deeds, to them who by patience continue
yep.
in some well-doing seek,
nope.
for glory and honor and immorality,
yep.
eternal life. But unto them that are
nope.
contentious and do not obey the
yep.
truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath.
Oh, Craig
Lucas.
Yep.
You an African American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga, we're back.
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' say it?
Nope.
We gon' expose them.
Yep.
Yeah. They gon' take your life?
Nope.
So many secrets in the vault?
Yep.
Do this knowledge cost?
Nope.
Hop in the book tomorrow?
Yep.
Do we follow these laws?
Walk, so I keep on trotting.
Everybody got choices.
Choose the right path and nothing can stop us.
Everybody got choices.
Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah.
Everybody got choices.
Choose the right path and save your soul.
Never going back?
No, no, no.
Forward to the kingdom?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Never wanna win?
No, no, no.
Leave all that spinning?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm never going back?
No, no, no.
Forward to the kingdom?
Yeah, yeah.
Choices,
nope.
Yeah.
Yep.
Everybody got choices.
Nope.
Everybody got choices.
Nope.
Choices.
Yep.
Is it cool
yep.
to be gay?
Nope.
Did he make us straight?
Yep.
Is the Most High plan?
Nope.
You gon' learn today?
Yep.
Do you understand grace?
Nope.
Remember Noah's day?
Yep.
Did more than 8 people live?
Nope.
Will it be the same way?
Yep.
Is a broad way to heaven?
Nope.
Is a broad way to hell? Death over life?
Nope.
You gonna change your life?
Yep.
Do you love these streets?
Nope.
Do you see police?
Yep.
You wanna get shot down?
Nope.
You remember my ground?
Yep.
You ever read your Bible?
Nope.
You wanna know your tribe?
Yep.
You know you more than a slave?
Nope.
Don't you wanna be saved?
Yep.
You ever been baptized?
Nope.
Wanna get in that water?
Yep.
Ever confess your sins?
Nope.
Ready to lift your hands?
Yep.
Amen.
Everybody got choices. Chose this walk, so I keep on trotting.
Everybody got choices.
Choose the right path and nothing can stop us.
Everybody got choices.
Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah.
Everybody got choices.
Choose the right path and save your soul.
Never going back?
No, no, no.
Forward to the kingdom?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Never wanna win?
No, no, no.
Leave all that spinning?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm never going back?
No, no, no.
Forward to the kingdom?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
From you have to choose one. Who you gonna choose? The Most High or Satan?
To choose
whose light to choose from. You got to choose one. Who you gonna choose? Who you gonna choose?
Should I live a simple life?
Nope.
Should I repent and be baptized?
Yeah.
Will Amalek ever be nice?
Nope.
Was our Savior crucified?
Yeah.
Does this world love the Most High?
Nope.
Is the wicked gonna burn?
Yeah.
Will he fall forever?
Nope.
Will we ever get our turn?
To choose from, you got to choose one. Who you gonna choose? The Most High or Satan?
To choose
whose side to choose from, you got to choose one. Who you gonna choose? Who you gonna choose?
Got to choose.
But so that this is where I'm at the point in from the class. I need to get this class started also. Is that we can't change nobody. The only person we can change is ourselves. That's the only person that's the only thing that can be done. Is we have to work on ourselves. And too many times, too often, we think about, I got to get on somebody else. I got to tell other people. And we don't work on ourselves. And what we don't realize is that we get into a lot of willful sin. We get into a lot of things where we don't get the most time because of our own feelings. And just like if he gets into his feelings, and it's not about being not even a good husband, not even trying to be a good brother, not trying to be an Israelite husband or Israelite friend or Israelite brother, all that can be done is we get the words of the Most High, and if a person decides they want to change and they want to start pleasing the Most High, they will. If not, this is why I'm running the last days. We really are in the last days. So if a person doesn't want to change for the Most High, the only thing left is matter of fact, get that for me real quick. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. You know, it's not just for you, sis. We have a brother here. You probably remember him, the brother of Shar. Your father's a husband.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his burial is today.
Oh, no.
He passed away in sleep 2 weeks ago. The Most High brought him home. So, for as much as we try and warn people and warn each other about staying righteous and being and working the Most High and working yourself, tomorrow's not promised. It's not promised for anybody. So we can keep thinking we got time, it's never happened to me, but I'm not going to change, or whatever thoughts are going through our minds, to where we're just stuck in our own opinions. We're just stuck in our own what have you. The Most High is not playing.
Exactly. I know I'm not supposed to teach it. I mean, he's a teacher. He knows a lot. But I try to tell him things, and it's like he's like here and he's telling me, I don't know what I'm talking about. But like you said, I can't change him. I'm just scared to death that because when I hear it, everything, something can happen to him. And I'm afraid at least he knows how to do it. And let him know what I've heard, and maybe he'll come in. I think he needs to go away. Just kind of talking about if he's waiting to come in. He can't be here.
That's what we're trying to get him doing. With humans around us.
Just with people we have to do. I mean, either whether I'm with him or not, if I can't get a divorce or not, he can just get him to me.
We would try to do that, sis. We again. He said, I don't want to go to San Antonio. I want to stay here.
And he told me that too. And he said, oh, I have to leave you. And I'm like, you're never with me anyway. Go to San Antonio. I told him, go. Gabar, go.
But not just with Gabar, but with each of us.
Yeah, right.
That each of us, if a person doesn't work on themselves and getting their own selves cleaned up from whatever demons they have, from whatever vices they have, whatever opinions they have, it's just not. This ain't gonna work.
That's why it seems like I think this is really. I don't have anything to talk about. I'm not at their picnic. I got doing some sisters over there, and I got their numbers, but it's in my other phone, so I don't have the numbers now. But I got a couple of sisters to talk to.
Pick me up, sir. Come back.
Let's get two scriptures. We're going to get Hebrews 10:26. But before we get to Hebrews 10:26, let's get any part of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 20 and verse 3.
Ecclesiastes chapter 20, verse 3,
How do we fit these definitions into the scripture, but bring some understanding?
Great thing about this one, I think I should start this one. It says, implies an often kindly intent to correct the fault. Yeah. All about that. Does that sound right?
Not at all, but how are you going to fit into the scripture? Wait, go back to the top of that list.
Okay. It says, reprove, to warn, admonish, rebuke, or reprimand, to criticize adversely.
Okay, to do what?
Criticize adversely.
What does it mean with somebody being criticized?
They're being basically like criticized. They're being shown what they need to work on. They're being shown where they're off or what the mistakes. They're being shown their mistakes. The mistakes are being made known to them. You're showing somebody where they're off. You're showing somebody their mistakes.
Right. I agree with that. So, like they're being critiqued.
Yeah, and this is what you should do instead of it, and also being given an alternative or a more correct way to go. Well, okay, this is where you're off, and this is what you should do to get back on point, or this is what you should do to make this situation work better.
A person can be evaluated. You might be on the job, and it's time you're going for an evaluation. And your supervisor or whatever is going to critique your performance. And they're going to evaluate the value of your performance.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to know that your performance is subpar. Your performance needs to come up. You need to improve here. You need to improve there. That they're going to critique you. So if our performance is being critiqued or being measured by someone and it shows the scriptures, then what should we do according to the scripture we're reading?
Try to correct them, try to show them a better way to do it, try to persuade them to try this instead.
Like the example is being kind of used right now. And since we're live on the air right now, I don't want to use somebody's name. But if we're evaluating somebody's being a husband, if somebody is being critiqued about their Israelite husbandry, are you being a proper Israelite husband? As this man is being critiqued about being an Israelite husband, and showing that as an Israelite husband, you fell here. Or you're weak here. As an Israelite husband, you're lacking here. As this man gets this critique,
or as this man gets this evaluation, what should this man do according to the scriptural reading?
Let's
read Ecclesiastes 23 again.
You got it. Ecclesiastes chapter 20, verse 3. How good is it when thou art reproved?
Or critiqued, or being evaluated about, as what we're bringing right now is an Israelite husband. Are you being a proper Israelite husband? We're going to critique and see, do you measure up as an Israelite husband? Not an American husband, not a worldly husband, but for what the Most High says, a husband should be doing. Do you measure up to what the Most High says an Israelite husband should be doing? And for where you're lacking, where you need improvement, where you're extremely weak at, let's read the scripture again.
Ecclesiastes chapter 20, verse 3. How good is it when thou art reproved? To show repentance.
So then this man is being shown that he's lacking as an Israelite husband in this area or in that area or in what have you. What should this man do?
Show repentance.
Do we have a good definition for repentance then?
The action of repentance, sincere regret or remorse.
All right, so if this man, if this Israelite man, his husband, is being shown he's lacking as an Israelite husband in this area. This Israelite man is shown that as an Israelite husband, you're weak in this area when it comes to being an Israelite husband. Then what should this Israelite husband feel?
Regret or remorse.
This man should feel regret that he does not measure up as an Israelite husband. That when he's measured against the scriptures, against Israelite husbands in the scriptures, you're weak. You're off. You're lacking. He's supposed to feel regret. I'm sorry, the definition said what now?
The first part of it, the action of repenting, and then it says sincere regret or remorse.
He should have a sincere regret that as an Israelite husband, you lack. As an Israelite husband, you're failing. As an Israelite husband, in this area, you are extremely weak. With any more definition?
To feel sorry for something you've done.
Yeah, as an Israel husband, and someone is showing you, they're critiquing you, evaluating you, you should feel sorry. A sincere regret, and you feel sorry. But that's the point, you just want to give up and quit, but that you want to now change. That now you're going to go ahead and work on these areas that you're weak at. These areas that you're being shown you're lacking in as an Israelite husband. That regret and that sorrow should motivate you to now work on those things you're failing at as an Israelite husband. And I keep stressing the word Israelite because as we go through today's class, too many people want to use the worldly definition. It would be for husband, it would be for wife, it would be for friend, it would be for brother. They will use those definitions, but they don't go to the scriptures and get the scripture definition of being a husband, a wife, a friend, a brother. And they'll work vigorously at being the worldly definition of these things, but will not put any work into that Israelite definition of husband, wife, friend, brother. So, if you read the scripture one more time, please. And again, as I'm going to say, I don't, because we're live on the air, I don't want to hear nobody's name.
You got it.
All right, please.
Chapter 3, verse 20. It was 20 and 3, I'm sorry. Ecclesiastes chapter 20, verse 3. Verse 3, how good is it when thou art reproved to show repentance? For so shall thou escape willful sin.
That if I'm being shown what I'm lacking as an Israelite husband, what's supposed to happen? I'm being critiqued by the scriptures about what an Israelite husband should be.
If you're being shown,
yes,
then you're supposed to. It's supposed to make you feel like you're supposed to feel bad. You're supposed to feel sorry. You're supposed to feel regretful to the point, not to the point where you just say, "Oh, well, dang, I'm just wicked as hell. There's no hope for me." Not to the point of that, because sometimes that's where people make it, but to the point where you change it, to the point where you actually make the change, to where you actually correct that. That's what it's supposed to do. Lopez said, "Why would he die?" That's not what he wants us to do, is just give up and just, you know, throw in the towel or whatever. But he would rather us change, turn from our wicked ways. That's what the repentance is supposed to bring about, is for us to turn from our wicked ways and just start doing what's right.
Exactly. But doing what's right in the eyes of the Most High. Now what's right in my own heads, my own opinion. I spoke to my mom who don't read the Bible. I spoke to my dad who don't read the Bible. I was watching this movie. It got nothing to do with the Bible. And see how he was acting? See how he treated his woman? You're supposed to do me that same way. You're supposed to treat me the same way. The way my grandfather and grandmother, the way they was married, why don't you do the same thing? And we're going to look at a husband. And we can just as easy look at a wife. We can just as easy look at a friend or a brother. If you was my friend, you would say this and you would say that. But is that what the scripture says? Is that what the Most High says how a friend should act? An Israelite friend should act. I am a good son. In whose eyes? If we measure you're being a son to what the scripture says, do you measure up to what a son is according to the scriptures? And when you're shown you lack as an Israelite son, as an Israelite husband, as an Israelite friend, wife, brother, whatever it is, you're supposed to feel regret. A sincere regret. A sincere sorrow. So that now you will escape. What did it say in the scripture?
Thou shalt escape willful sin.
Now you will escape willful sin. That you're sinning willfully now. Because you have an opinion that you're stuck on. And no matter what the scripture says, you're not going to change. No matter what the scriptures are bringing out, you're going to keep acting the way you want to act. To where now you're willfully sinning. Now you're willfully going against what the Most High said about being an Israelite husband, wife, friend, or brother. Because you're stuck in your opinion of what you think is right. Regardless of what the scripture says. You're going to keep doing you. And that's why now let's go to Hebrews 10:26.
Good
verse.
Hebrews
Hebrews chapter 10:26. For we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin.
Right. So now, somebody's trying to prove me, critique me, trying to show me the scriptures that I lack in this area. I'm weak in this area. I need to put I need improvement in these areas. But now I'm not trying to feel sorry or feel bad or feel regret about what I'm being sure I got to work on. I'm not doing that. So now a person gets stuck into a willful sin. I don't care what critique you give me. You have something personal against me. You're just picking on me. Whatever a person says. Then now I'm not gonna take the scriptures I'm being shown. I'm gonna keep doing it the way I feel is right. I feel like you don't understand where I'm coming from. You don't get me. You won't listen to me to see why I'm doing what I'm doing. So because of these things, I'm gonna keep doing what I'm doing. I'm going to keep operating the way I want to keep operating. So now a person is in willful sin. I've been sure I've got to work on this, but I'm not going to work on it. So now again, but Hebrews 10:26, let's read it again.
Verse 26, for we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth.
When does somebody give us the knowledge of the truth? When it comes to being an Israelite husband. Somebody was going to that book, somebody was going to this Bible and showing me as an Israelite husband, this is how an Israelite husband should operate, but I'm not doing those things as an Israelite husband. Somebody was giving me the knowledge of the truth of being an Israelite husband. And I'm like, nope, I'm not doing that. Because in my mind, this is what a husband's supposed to be doing. In my mind, this is how it's supposed to be. After somebody has critiqued me, after somebody has warned me, after somebody has shown me the scriptures about how Israel's husband should operate. So now I'm sinning willfully. After I received the knowledge of the truth, after somebody has shown me the scriptures, that this is what I'm lacking. This is what I need to improve. This one I need to work on. I'm sinning willfully after I receive the knowledge of the truth. It says the only thing remaining is what?
There remaineth no more sacrifice of sin.
There's no more sacrifice. I could drop $1 billion in tithes and alms. That is not going to erase the fact that as an Israelite husband, I'm still lacking. I can give 10,000 scriptures. That's not going to change the fact I'm still lacking as an Israelite husband. I can be an Israelite sister and I cook for the Salvation Army. That's not going to be the sacrifice that's going to cover up while I'm being shown that as an Israelite wife, I lack here. As an Israelite wife, I'm off here. So I can try and sacrifice as much as I want to. That's not going to change the fact that for what I've been shown in the scriptures that I'm weak at. What I've been shown in the scriptures, I'm off at. What I'm just showing in the scriptures, I need improvement in. But I've decided I am not going to work on those things. I'm not going to deal with that. The scripture is telling us there remaineth no more sacrifice for those sins. There is no other substitute. Well, instead of me working on being this Israelite husband, I'm going to go ahead and work on being an Israelite friend. You're still going to be lacking as an Israelite husband. Instead of being working on being that good Israelite husband or a better Israelite husband, I'm going to be more of a friend to just, I want to make sure I get along with everybody. I'm going to just stay in my lane. Cool, but you've been shown, you've been critiqued, you've been evaluated, that this is what you got to work on when it comes to being an Israelite husband. And when a person chooses not to work on the things they're being shown they got to work on, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. Read on.
Verse 27. But a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation.
Yeah, but all that remains now is a certain fearful looking for of judgment. Now, when I'm judged about me being a good Israelite husband, whatever consequences come about from me being now working on being a better Israelite husband, and somebody show me the scriptures on what I got to work on. As I know, I'm not dealing with that. Nope, I'm not touching that. That don't pertain to me. I'm going to work on what I think I need to work on, but not what the scriptures show me I got to work on. All that remains then is a certain looking for a judgment. That's why, let's hold this scripture, and let's get Proverbs chapter 12, verse 8.
Proverbs chapter 12, verse 8. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 8. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom.
Right. A man should be commended according to his wisdom. And again, the dictionary definition of wisdom is somebody who makes right choices in reaching a goal. If you're really trying to be a good Israelite husband, you're going to be commended or awarded or recognized that you are a good Israelite husband if you make the right decisions in how to be a good Israelite husband. Because you allow somebody to critique you, you allow somebody to evaluate you and show you what you got to work on. Then there, you had a sincere regret, a sincere sorrow about what you're weak in, what you're lacking, and you went ahead and started to put the work in to change those things. So now you can be commended about your wisdom. That yes, you are now making right decisions and right choices to be that good Israelite husband. But if a person chooses not to take the critique, not to take the evaluation, not to take the criticism on what they got to work on to be a better Israelite husband, according to Hebrews 10:27, going back there, letting Proverbs go. According to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 27, it says what?
Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. 27. 27, you got it. But a certain fearful looking, you were reading it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 27. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation.
All you can look for? That because you've not made those right, you've decided not to make the right choices from the critique and from the warnings that you were given. then when things go bad in your marriage, because you did not want to make the choices that please the Most High of being a good Israelite husband, the only one you can blame is who?
Yourself.
If a woman decides, after being evaluated, critiqued, that she doesn't want to work on the things she's weak at of being a good Israelite wife, then when the marriage goes bad, who's the only one she can blame?
Herself. She has a question.
Sure. Don't mention no names. Do not mention any names.
She says she won't.
All right.
I know the faults that I have and everything, but sometimes I need somebody to point things out, and I didn't have my husband around to point these things out or anybody, you know what I mean? And so, how do you, I mean...
Well, let me ask you this.
I'm not stupid, right?
No, I understand your question, but... When your husband was around and was trying to show you these things, and you decided not to listen.
I did, though.
No. I'm not going to mention no name again. Let's go. Give me Job, was that 33:6, I believe it is?
That sounds familiar. Let me pull it. Job chapter 33:6. Behold, I am according to thy wish.
That's not it. Hold on 1 second. There's one that speaks once, yea, twice. I'm sorry, it's 33:14.
Okay. Job chapter 33:14. For the Most High speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not.
So just like we're reading in Ecclesiastes 20:3, when it said, when we just read, how good it is when thou reproved to show repentance. That the Most High speaks once and twice. The Most High be warning us, giving us scriptures about our conduct, about our behavior, about our choices, about the things we're doing. Somebody's giving us scriptures. But when I get stuck in my head, I'm going to follow my own feelings, my own opinion. I'm not going to feel sorry or be critiqued or feel regret about how I'm acting. I want to make excuses. I'm not going to change because you do this or you don't love me, so you can give me these scriptures, and until I feel like you love me, I'm not going to listen to the scriptures. I don't think you respect me enough as an individual, so I don't care what scriptures you give me, I'm not changing. I'm mad, I'm upset, you're a hypocrite, so I don't care what scripture you show me, I'm not going to listen to it. I'm not going to feel sorry. I'm not going to feel regret. I'm not going to take low. I'm going to get more mad. I'm going to get angry. I'm going to get defensive. I'm going to start accusing you about what you're doing instead of me feeling regret, feeling sorrow that I'm going against the Most High. So now, person, the Most High does speak to you once or twice. There are scriptures given about my conduct, but at the time they're given, I'm in my anger, I'm in my rage, I'm in my excuses, I'm in my own justification. I'm dismissing the scriptures because I'm looking at the person. I ain't looking at the scriptures, I'm looking at the person. And now, all right, cool. What you didn't get is that when somebody was giving you scriptures about your conduct, when somebody was giving you scriptures about your behavior, about your attitude, and for whatever reason you dismissed those scriptures, for whatever reason you dismissed that person, that's not changing the fact that as the Most High said, all you can look for now is a certain fiery indignation and judgment. That somebody tried. But instead of feeling that sincere regret, instead of feeling that sincere remorse, instead of feeling that sorrow, no, I'm going to justify, get mad, and find the excuse about why I can do what I'm doing and I don't need to change. Why I don't have to listen to the scriptures. All that's left, according to the Most High's word, is a certain fiery indignation, a certain judgment. That's all that remains. That when the Most High, when somebody was trying to show you scriptures, but I'm not trying to be refuted. I'm not trying to hear that. I'm going to fight, I'm going to argue, I'm going to bite, I'm going to throw fits, I'm going to ignore. I'm going to go by myself. I'm going to go into my own little wall, my own little cave. You can't talk to me no more. I'm going to ignore everything that you got to say. Okay. Not a problem. But that's not changing what the Most I said is going to happen. Can you read it one more time, please?
It's Job chapter 33, verse 14. For the Most High speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not.
Man don't perceive it because I'm stuck in my feelings. I'm stuck in my opinion. Well, you're showing the scripture that I need to change this about me. What about you? The scripture says I got to be doing this, but what about you? You be doing this, you be doing that, so how come I can't do what I do? And there's a whole lot of that type of talk going on. No problem. What you're not understanding is you're rejecting the words of the Most High when somebody's showing the scriptures. And the Most High being true to his word, the Most High being true to what he says will happen. All you look for now is judgment. There ain't no more sacrifice. So, if that man is deciding he's not going to listen to the scriptures about being a good Israelite husband, a good Israelite husband, when things don't work out within the house, all he can blame is who? Because it's not like he wouldn't give a scripture about this is how the Most High says you should do it. Yeah, but if I do that, she ain't going to love me. But if I do that, she might say this. If I do that, she might leave. If I do that, she might, this might, what about, not a problem. Not a problem. But when this stuff comes upon you, don't be the victim. Don't be the victim. Because you were told. You were shown. But for whatever excuse you gave yourself that you didn't have to do that, all you wanted was the Most High to judge you now. But the Most High is trying to tell you before the judgment got there, before it got this extreme, the Most High is trying to warn you. Change this. Change that. Do this. Do that. Do it this way. But when the instructions were being given, I'm not listening. That's for a husband. Go send me for a wife. You're not being humble. You ain't being me. You're pushing your attitude. You're trying to control your husband. You're going to do these things. When he turns a cold shoulder, you ignore him, and then when he comes back and ignores you, don't be shocked. Don't be all, I don't know what's going on. I can't believe this is happening. Let's get Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha, chapter 32, verse 17.
Chapter 32, verse 17. A sinful man would not be reproved, but findeth an excuse according to his will.
I'm sorry, read again.
Verse 17. A sinful man would not be reproved.
A sinful man would not be reproved. I don't care what scripture you show me. I don't care what's going on. I'm not going to feel regret, sorrow, or feel bad that you're showing me in the scriptures now how I'm going to get the Most High. But I don't think I'm going to get the Most High. I don't think what I'm doing is so bad. I think you have a personal grudge against me. That's why I'm not going to listen to the scriptures. I don't think you understand how I operate or where I'm coming from. And until you understand how I operate and where I'm coming from, I don't care what scriptures you show me about my situation. I'm going to do things my way. And I'm going to find an excuse so I keep doing things the way I want to do things. You don't love me. You don't care about me. You don't know my situation. You don't take time to listen to where I'm coming from. You have anger issues. You're being emotional. Whatever excuse the person uses, that I'm not going to listen to the scripture. I am not going to repent. I refuse to feel regret. Matter of fact, I feel like you're attacking me, so I'm going to attack you back. I'm going to find an excuse why I don't have to change. I'm going to find an excuse why I don't have to listen. Again, so it says what? Read again.
Verse 17. A sinful man will not be reproved.
A sinful man will not be reproved because I'm willfully sinning. I'm stuck in my opinion. You don't care about me. You don't love me. Will you do this? Will you do that? So I don't have to listen to the scripture. All right, cool. A sinful man will not be reproved. But will do what?
But finding an excuse according to his will.
It's finding an excuse to keep doing what he wants to do. Okay. And again, that does not change the fact that what? That if we sin willfully, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. But a certain looking for a judgment and fiery indignation. That's all that's left. So if this is like husband doesn't want to operate as an Israelite husband. He wants to operate as a worldly husband, even though he's being given scriptures about what he needs to change, but he refuses to change. When things don't work out, all he can do is blame himself. For this Israelite woman who's being shown, this is how you please the father as an Israelite wife. But she's on some, nope, I ain't doing that. Nope, until he does this. Nope, until I feel this, I'm not going to do that. Cool. When the judgment comes, when the house is in turmoil, when there is no peace, a house divided cannot stand. When this wife finds herself defenseless, when this wife finds herself alone, when this wife finds herself alone with her attitude because that's all she had. Cool. The only one who can blame for that is you. When this Israelite son is being warned about honor your father, honor your mother, let everything be done decently and in order. Children, obey your parents. And this son decides, nope, I'm not doing that. And I'm going to cuss my dad out. I'm going to cuss my mom out. I'm going to have an attitude with them. Okay. Then when they're not there to help you because of your attitude, well, now you have to struggle on your own. Because of your attitude, you're going to want to blame them. But this was a consequence of your action. So now when it comes upon you, again, the only one you can rightfully blame is yourself. But because you still refuse to be reproved, you're going to keep finding an excuse why it's not your fault, but it's somebody else's fault. You're going to keep finding an excuse about why it's everybody else's fault, why you don't want to be a good Israelite husband, a good Israelite, a better Israelite wife, a better Israelite son, a better Israelite daughter, for whatever excuse you want to keep finding, as the Most High keeps pouring out his judgment. As the Most High keeps pouring out his fire indignation, the only one you can rightfully blame is you. But the truth of the matter is, a sinful man will not be reproved, no matter what correction comes to them. No matter how bad the fire indignation gets, it's always going to be somebody else's fault. It's always going to be somebody else's fault. But we cannot sit here and say that somebody didn't try and give us scriptures. Somebody didn't try and warn us. Step back like a fool. You can't do, don't do this. Don't act like this. What are you doing? Why are you arguing? When somebody said, get your scriptures, and you was like, nope, I'm going to yell, argue, fight, bite, scratch, throw a fit. I'm getting angry. I'm going off. When somebody was trying to give you scriptures, and you decided you didn't want to hear it, that was your opportunity to get right with the Most High. That was your opportunity. That was the Most High showing you mercy to fix it before it got bad. To get it right before it really got messed up. But because I'm stuck in my head, I'm stuck in my opinion, I'm stuck in my attitude, to where I'm not trying to hear no scripture. All that's left, there's no more sacrifice that can be done. All that's left is a certain fearful looking forward judgment and fiery indignation. I mean, let's take Galatians chapter 6, verse 7.
Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. The Most High is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Basically, what he's telling us, every action has a reaction. And for what you do, you're going to receive for the actions that you do. So, if is my husband doesn't listen to what he should be doing as an Israelite husband, if she walks out on him or does whatever, the only one he can blame is who?
Himself.
When the house goes to straight doo-doo, but he was warned, get your house in order. You need to work on this in your house. You need to work on this in your house. But this man said, no, I ain't going to do that. When the house falls, because of his actions, who's the only one he can blame? In the eyes of the Most High. But that wife, someone's trying to tell you, you got to work this way. You better be like this. You have an attitude. When she's getting ignored, who's the only one she can blame?
Herself.
You caused this. But reading on with the scripture.
Verse 8.
Yes.
For he that soweth to his own, for he that soweth to his flesh.
To his flesh. You water your opinion. You give yourself excuses why you can keep doing what you're doing. You keep giving yourself excuses why you don't have to change. You give yourself excuses, you've changed enough. So you're sowing to your flesh. You're sowing to your opinion. Read again, please, sir.
Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption.
What does it mean to sow something? S-O-W, not S-E-W, but S-O-W. What's that mean? The plant, right?
Yeah, the plant. You put that in action. You're the one, your efforts are the ones that put this, is what put this in action.
And finally getting to that action, I'm planning what? Those excuses. I'm planning those thoughts of why I continue to do what I'm doing. I plant the seed, I plant the thoughts, I plant the excuses in my mind why I don't have to change or feel bad about what I'm doing. I'm not going to feel regret that I operate this way, but the scripture says do it this way. But I'm planting the excuses in my head why I don't have to change. I plant the excuses in my head why the way I'm doing, I don't see what's wrong with the way I do it. A person will keep planting those seeds, planting those thoughts, planting those excuses of why they can do it the way they're used to, how they grew up, what they see, what they feel, what have you, regardless of the scriptures. Regardless of what the Bible shows, then what they're going to reap, or all they're going to get back, their reward, their return, what's going to come back is what? Corruption. That's why Yahweh Shai told us what? In me, you will have peace. That's John 16:33. Let's get that real quick. Is it 6 or 16?
No, that's 16. 6:33.
Let me get it real quick.
Because it is for the bread of Mosiah.
Let me look it up. It's 16:33. I'm sorry, 16:33.
John?
Mm-hmm. Yes, John
16:33. 16:33 says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. This is the world, you shall have tribulation. But be good, John chapter 16, verse 33. These things are spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace.
So, the warning, the reprovals, the critiques, the criticism, is for what reason?
That you might have peace.
Exactly. This is the love of the Most High in Christ.
Then do it this way and you won't have all these damn problems and everything won't be falling apart.
Time.
Do it this way.
So then you will have peace. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. It's going to work out. In the world, you shall have tribulation. You're going to keep doing it to what you're comfortable with, your opinion, how you see it, which has nothing to do with the scriptures. It has nothing to do with what you're being shown you need to work on. So in the end, what are you going to have? Tribulation. It ain't going to work. But then the outside says what? But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. If you follow me in my steps, I'm showing you the end game. I'm giving you the what you need to do to make it to the end game and have peace. But that simple person is too busy doing what? making excuses about why now this wisdom, this scripture, doesn't need to be applied. And then, like it says in Daniel, the wicked shall hear but not understand. I didn't know you was trying to tell me that I need to change this by myself so I don't have to. I wasn't thinking about that. I didn't hear. All right, let's read it one more time. St. John chapter 16, verse 33.
St. John chapter 16, verse 33.
What is it that God is speaking to us? The warning, the reprovals, the critiques, the things that we need to correct. If you're going to be a good Israelite husband, or a better Israelite husband, you better be doing these things as a good Israelite husband. And if you don't listen, it's not going to work. Get out of your own mind about what you think being a good Israelite husband. Someone is critiquing you. Someone is evaluating your conduct. Someone is using scripture to evaluate how you operate. Now you're evaluating yourself. Someone is observing you and saying, you need to work on this. You need to work on that. Someone is critiquing you. But no, I'm only to my own mind and my own understanding about what I feel I need to work on. Contrary to the scripture saying, do not lean to your own understanding. No, I'm going to go by my understanding about what I feel I need to work on. I'm going to go by what, you know, I don't think what you're telling me through scripture is right and proper, but I feel like I could work on this. I feel maybe I should work on that. But not what you're telling me, because you don't have my best interest at heart. You don't care. You don't love. You don't this. Whatever excuse the person wants to use. All right. These things, St. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In Christ, you might have peace. Reading on verse 33, please.
Verse 33. These things that I spoke unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation.
When it says you shall have, what does that mean?
That's definite. You're not going to avoid it or get around it. This is going to happen. If you're still following the advice and the wisdom of the world, worldly wisdom instead of the wisdom of the Most High Christ, you are going to, you're destined for failure. You're going to have problems. You're not going to get around the problem. If this is the way you're choosing to go, you're going to have problems. You're asking for it, essentially.
Does this not go in Hebrews 10:26-27? That we sin willfully, that we make no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain spirit for looking for judgment and fire indignation. This is all you can look forward to. You stayed in your world. You stayed in your lane. You stayed in your opinion. All right. Now, when this judgment comes, when the tribulation comes, shut up. When you're going through all these problems, shut the hell up. Now it's time to go meditate on how many times is somebody trying to tell you about what you need to work on as an Israelite? Instead of keep trying to find more excuses about why it's not your fault. While you're sitting there keep trying to tell yourself why you didn't feel that what you were doing was so bad. While you're still trying to build all those excuses, ain't that the reason you're going through the problems you're going through now? You're going through these problems now because you had that same mindset. It's not your fault. Nobody understands you. You're just angry. You're just mad. You're just upset. You didn't grow up in the truth. That doesn't change the fact that the Most High gave his words to you. And you got hard-headed, stubborn, rebellious, stiff-necked. Now you're going through the tribulation. The only thing you can do now is work on changing and stop giving excuses about why you're special and why you don't have to do what everybody else in the world has to do. Obey the Most High. Why am I the only one that's got to be going through this? Why am I the only one who has to do this and do that? And no one else has to. Because for whatever the Most High is working on in your spirit, this way is working on in your spirit. Well, I don't see nobody else doing what I'm doing, so well, I won't do it. All right, okay. Jonah felt the same way. And he got swallowed by a huge giant fish, whale, whatever. You had the same thoughts. Our forefathers came out of Egypt. Being told from the Most High to Moses, do this. No, I'm not feeling it. Cool. Losing war. Someone dies. Oh, now I'm going to obey. Now I'll do it. Moses said, don't go up there. You should have listened when the Most High said, listen. You should have performed when the Most High said, perform. But you decided not to. But now you think you're ready. So now you're going to do something. But Moses said, the Most High ain't with you. Don't do it. No, now I'm going to do it. Now I'm ready. I'm going to do it. And you ran up there and cried again. You ran up there and died again. Like now the Most High is supposed to jump when you're ready for him to jump. The Most High is supposed to be accept that, well, at least I did something. So, from the Israel husband's perspective, since this is how we will see the last one, and referring to a conduct of a brother, if he doesn't want to be a good Israel husband, all that can be is a certain 5 and 4 of judgment. If that woman doesn't want to be a good Israelite woman, when she's been given the instructions, when the judgment comes, when the tribulation comes, instead of making excuses why you're not the right one, they got the wrong guy. Go back and think about all the scriptures somebody was trying to give you about your mindset, about your behavior, about what you're still doing wrong in the eyes of the Messiah. And the last one I got to finish up with in our last 10 seconds, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7.
Proverbs 16 and 7. When a man's way pleases the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him.
I got to get one more. They go hand in hand. Isaiah 48 and 22. I need both of these. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7, and Isaiah chapter 48, verse 22. I need both of them. I need Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7. I need Isaiah chapter 48, verse 22. I need both of these together. Meaning one man get one and the other man get the other at the same time.
Okay. When a man's way pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him.
When you're doing those things that make who? That please who?
To please the Lord.
Your own mind.
The Lord.
Your own excuses.
When please the Lord.
When your ways please the Lord, what does the Lord do?
He makes even his enemies to be at peace with him.
So, if you're an Israelite husband and you're looking for there to be some peace with an Israelite wife, what do you need to be doing?
Pleasing the Lord.
If you're an Israelite wife and you want there to be some peace between you and your Israelite husband, what do you need to be doing as an Israelite wife?
Pleasing the Lord.
If you're an Israelite son who needs help and you're not getting it, then what do you, as an Israelite son, need to be doing?
Pleasing the Lord.
If you have no Israelite friends, then what should you be doing if you need some Israelite friends?
Pleasing the Lord.
You have some peace. I'm sorry, I'm not.
Oh, my bad.
The
Most High fixed all that. You're supposed to be focused on him.
And what he says a friend is, a brother is, a wife is, a husband is. You work on those things. But Isaiah 48:22.
Isaiah 48:22. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked.
But there's not gonna be any peace to hope. And a little peace to the wicked. You keep doing things your own way, the Most High is not in all your thoughts. Good luck. Good luck. So I know that. So I want to thank everybody who did tune in today. Well, it was through the live broadcast. You might catch us on the in the archive show. Again, a reminder that September 27th at sunset is the Memorial of Blowing of Trumpets. All right, September 27th at sunset is the Memorial of Blowing of Trumpets. Come up this Friday. All right. If you're in Albuquerque, please get in touch with the brothers. 7710 Suite F, Manal Boulevard, Northeast, Albuquerque, Mexico, 87110. If you're in San Antonio, 4219 Senegate Drive, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. Or if you're in the Houston area, 8524 South Glazer Boulevard, Houston, Texas, 77071. Then there's a code out there. Tonight is Monday, right?
Tuesday.
Today's Tuesday. Please catch ISBHPK Norfolk Live starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Where Kazaki will be doing, having the shows right there tonight. And I believe there will be class tonight in San Antonio at the school here in San Antonio. With that, I'm going to go ahead and say shalom.